God is great. I'm going to look at Galatians chapter 5. But to give a background to that, the first thing to know is that when we have authority, the authority is marked by a certain formula, a certain set of words that Jesus used, not as a law, but just simply as an accurate description in our day as Christians. Hear what the Spirit would say to the churches. There is our only authority, and it's final, and it's complete. Now, I'm going to say some words, then I'll explain how I got these words, living words, this morning as I woke up. God said, heaven on earth is not a place. It's a person. Heaven on earth is not a place. It's a person. So if you're looking for a place, whether it's Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim or Dallas or Fort Worth or wherever, it's not there. That's not where the church, heaven on earth, the kingdom of God, that's not where you'll find God. But the kingdom of God's within. It's not out there. It's not here, there. The kingdom of God is not of this world. So heaven on earth, that's not a thing. That's not something that you can touch or taste or smell or feel or understand or grasp with anything of this world. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's not part of this world. So the problem with the election is to pretend like someone's going to save us or help us. But there's nothing that can build anything down here without heaven. Heaven on earth is not a place. It's not something visible. It's not something in time. It's not something that relates to politics or economics or society or religion. The kingdom of God is a person, a personal relationship with the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Jewish church, like paganism, as the Catholic church, as most of the Protestants today, are trying to build the kingdom of God on earth without heaven. That is, they're not interested in heaven, and therefore they're not going to have heaven on earth, because it's not with a person. We're looking for a thing, fruit. We're looking for evidence. We're looking for proof. We're looking for security in this world, not certainty in the Word of God. So there's no authority today on earth, even in the churches, because men have lost that personal love affair, that personal knowing of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, according to the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there's no love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, or self-control in the world today. We substitute other things that look like those things, but they're not, because there's no authority. And it's the only problem in the modern world. Now, prior to the modern world, there was a reformation that took place to establish certitudo above securitas. In other words, the certainty of the word, which brings faith, above the security of this world, which is built by men doing works. That religion was broken, overthrown. It no longer had hegemony. It no longer dominated, had a monopoly upon the bodies and soul and hearts of men. It had the gospel, but it was covered over with so much human accretions, so much human mixture, so much confusion, carnality, compromise, that one couldn't hear the gospel because of all of the barnacles that were attached to the ship. So we're in trouble today, and this election that we're about to face is very clear. It's very simple. There's right and there's wrong. And it's very, very simple, very clear. One will win, the other one will not win. So for a Christian, it means nothing. It matters not that one will win and another won't, because we don't have any control. We have no wisdom, no knowledge, no strength apart from the Word of God. And in the Word of God, judgment never begins with this world, but it always begins with the house of God. So the problem today is not political, economic, or social, or even religious. The problem is that the people of God are not, because of a misunderstanding of the law, a misunderstanding of the Word of God, a misunderstanding even of the words that Jesus Christ has proclaimed as the gospel. So if you misunderstand the gospel, you will actually try to get something secure. Most ministries want to have the fruit more than the foundation. And because of that, they build on a faulty foundation because they misconstrued, misunderstood, and interpreted exactly opposite to, in such a way that God would call it evil. That is a lukewarm, compromised, carnal, confused church that in our day holds sway. None of these things would have come about had the church been hot, zestos. Had the church been true to God, it wouldn't have arisen. So even if a church says they believe in grace, doesn't mean it does. Sola gratia, grace alone. Nor does it mean that God is in that church or that there's any fear of God whatsoever in that church. Even though they're preaching things that sound like truth, they actually can be error, untruth, evil. A church God will not defend. A church God will not save or back up. So America is being judged today, not because God hates this world. He still loves this world. He still loves all mankind. He loves pagans, Jewish, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus. He loves all kinds of people because he loves everybody and he's not a respecter of persons. Nevertheless, our leaders today are blind. Our leaders today stumble. Now, one of the good things that's come out of this divided nation, a house divided against itself cannot stand. One of the good things that comes out is some of the pastors have become more vocal about their own identity as belonging to Christ. And I have been blessed by realizing that there are many pastors out there that know what the trouble is and what the problem is, and it's us. It's not the unbelievers. It's the believers who are actually misunderstanding what it is they believe. They know it's Christ, but the word Christ can just be a word, a concept, an idea, grace. Sola Christus or solus Christus. It means Christ alone. But many add some barnacles to that. They add things just as the Catholics did, as the Jews did, as everyone else did, who's under a law. You'll put a little behavior into it. Now I'm going to say it differently. I am not a marketer. I'm not interested in the fruit. almost everybody else is not into foundation, doctrine, truth, authority. They're into, this proves I'm a Christian because I didn't do this or I did do this. And so they're into looking like a church, looking like the kingdom of God, heaven on earth. They have two huge screens at the front. We don't. They have marble bathrooms. We don't. They have special parking places for people who come for the first time. We don't have that. We hardly have parking spaces. So we have none of the marks of being a true church. And the only thing we emphasize here is not get busy and do something. Oh, we don't believe in that. I don't want anyone to do anything. I want you to do nothing. Because apart from Him, if you're not connected to Him, what you do will not be a work wrought in God. It'll be a human work. It'll be a humanistic work. It'll be a Gnostic work. It'll be something that you made up, invented. And so the world today is divided. And the church today itself is confused. And so since nobody can say what's going to happen in a few days, they don't realize that it doesn't matter what happens. What matters is what we do and why we do it and how we do it, where it's wrought in God and not in ourselves. But there's no authority left today. So someone can say they're a minister or say they're a thief or a robber, and it has no meaning to most of the population. Most of the population doesn't care if somebody lied, cheated, and stole or murdered. Really, those kind of moral issues don't even arise for half of the American voter body. And others who espouse something, they might not develop it because they're immature and don't know enough. But the problem is the interpretation, the understanding, which is not given through the pulpit. In fact, there is no vision for this world. There's no vision for politics. There's no vision for economics. There's no vision for culture because the pastors have forgotten the Word of God. The Reformation was built on doctrine, not on its fruit. But today we're only interested in the fruit to prove that we had the doctrine, which you may not have just because you look like you had. So by encouraging people to help the poor and, you know, try to be honest in business and, you know, Christianity produces good moral citizens and people and nice so on, I don't believe a word of it. The purpose of Christianity is Jesus, period. To know Him. Heaven on earth is to know Him, not to look moral, look good, look religious, appear to be something. This is what God hates, is all the works of man are in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So let's look at the fifth chapter of Galatians. This book is a critical book for Martin Luther in the 1500s because in that book, it is laid out by the Apostle Paul. It is laid out, well, it's laid out in all the epistles, but not as clearly. This one is very clear and it's unique. It's different. Its issue is do not start in the spirit and end up in the flesh. In other words, if you begin in chair 4, don't drop back to chair 2. If the only purpose of 4 is 2, then 6 is replaced. If the only purpose of 4 is to stop as though there was a wall and you never go on to 5 or 6, you'll never get to 7 because you went back to 2 and sometimes to 1. As a matter of fact, 2 is nothing but 1. Anyone who is a sinner is someone who does evil, wicked, vain in the sight of God. There's someone who didn't believe that after you sin, didn't believe that after you sin, you then have to deal with God, who's either going to judge you or He's going to mercifully forgive you in chair 4. Now, if you once arrive at chair four, which Martin Luther was able to do to say the Roman Catholic Church of his day was teaching, behave yourself and behave Mother Church, or the voice of the Pope who spoke ex cathedra, out of the chair, that is, out of the cathedral. And when he speaks on religion and morals, then he's infallible. Everything he says is true. And Martin Luther challenged that and said, not so, not true. The only authority comes from the Word of God, not from an institution, not from religion, not from a pope, not from anybody, but the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no other intermediator between you and the living God. And so you'll have to answer for yourself. So you can't ask Pastor Jim to answer for you, because I can't. I'm busy sleeping for Peggy and eating for Peggy and stuff like that, so I don't have time to sleep and eat for everybody else. What I'm saying is this: nobody can sleep for you. Nobody can eat for you. It's up to you, every individual, to answer to God yourself. And so since heaven on earth, the kingdom of God, is not a place, you can't find it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. It's not outside. It's not in this world. It does not come from here. My kingdom is not of this world. It's not from out of here at all, so you can't check it. In other words, the fruit is meaningless if the world is going to judge it. If the world is the judge of your fruit, then two passes. And so religion today passes because it's in a building called a church. But the building is not the church. The people are the church, but not all the people in a church, but only those that in fact know Jesus. And you can't find him. He is not here. You can't see him. You can't touch him. You can't smell him. So the kingdom of God is not outside. It's something within. It's something inside of you. So the kingdom of God is on earth, but you can't see it. And you can't vote for it. And you can't vote against it. It has nothing to do with anything of this world. So those that are excited or anxious or worried or afraid are foolish. And those that prognosticate are equally foolish, because you don't know what Ohio's going to do. You don't know what Nevada will do. Why? Because it's a secret between every man. And that came from the Bible, by the way, because no other country ever did it, nor can they do it. But they picked it up from the biblical understanding that every man has his own natural dignity, value, and worth equal to everybody else, without a king, without a Supreme Court, or without anything else that has any godlikeness or superiority or precedence to it. So today we've forgotten all these things that our founders knew when they created the state of Texas. When they said the problem with Santa Anna and the Mexican government that he took control of is that Texas, the citizens of Texas, are not allowed to worship the true and living God. That's a good reason to draw a line in the sand. That's a good reason to say, we're going to follow God. We will be one state under God, not under the American government. That's just a system. That's just words. That's just appearance. So neither church nor state have any reality in God's sight. The only thing that has in God's sight is the church Jesus himself builds one by one by one by one by one. That's authority, nothing else. So big, large churches mean nothing to God. But this world understands a church that looks big, it must be good because people go to it. Lots of people go to it. If that's the case, we're in trouble. If that's the case, we're in trouble. And anybody who speaks the truth is in trouble today. Because I, for one, I don't care. I don't care if there's just nobody here but Peggy and me, because Peggy needs it. And so we have church at home. Did you know that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them? That's a church. So you don't need to have a large body. You don't need to have a pastor up here. You don't need to have anything except Jesus. Because the kingdom of God is not a place. It's not something in this world related to time and space. It won't be seen until the millennium. 7. In the millennium, the only church there will be and the only leaders and rulers there will be is us. There won't be anyone else. So what God is doing is coming back for his bride, and the bride is that church without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. And since you can't build that, only God can gift that to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, chair 4 and 5 and 6, that gospel is all you've got right there. Everything, political, economic, social, and religious is going to be measured by that stick, by that yardstick, by that dikaiosune, hagios, doxa. 3 different words all mean holy, holy, holy. The angels cried, holy, 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 in the year that King Uzziah died, when Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You and I are part of that temple. You and I are part of that temple. And the angels cried, holy, 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 kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. But in the Greek New Testament, the 4 Gospels sing, holy, holy, holy. But they sing, chair 4, chair 5, chair 6. Imputed righteousness, justification by faith. You can't do it by works. So we cancel out chair 2, because that is man at his best state, whereas chair 1 is man not in his best state. And so everyone knows there's no hope for them. Wrong. Because of chair 4, 5, and 6, there is hope for one. But under chair 2, one would never get there, because they have to force number 1 by a law. You have to actually force people, compel people. Do you want to receive Jesus Christ and be baptized in his name? Or be slain today with the sword? I'm going to go for... No, how do you say that again? Jesus Christ? Okay, I'm going to go for Jesus. Okay, those people really didn't become Christians. They just joined the institutional church because they didn't want their head chopped off. As you can see today, that choice is still before many people. If you believe you're right, then it's a good thing to give somebody a choice. You have a choice. You want to be a Muslim, the extremists teach, then we will give you a chance to be a Muslim right now or have your head chopped off. Okay, let's see. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Boom, head's chopped off. So because of that, the world's confused today about what's going on, but there's no confusion at all. However the vote comes out this Tuesday, however it comes out, I think David said it'd be on Wednesday, but he's a little bit hasty there. But he corrected that, so he's okay. It's okay to sin as long as you confess it right afterward. So you have one candidate that sins and justifies it and denies that it ever happened. You have another one that says, I did sin and I took advantage of all the systems and I was not good. But today I've decided I was wrong, and gives the credit to the Lord. That doesn't make him perfect. As a matter of fact, what makes him perfect is that he knows he's not perfect. And that's perfect. Perfect is not what you didn't do or did do. Perfect is that you believed in Jesus Christ, that he was sent by a perfect Father whose pleasure, whose will was to give you the kingdom, not to earn it in chair 2, but to give it to you who are once sinners. And while you're yet a sinner, you can actually jump over 2, go straight to 3 without being circumcised, without being baptized, without being anything. Just simply repent then and say, 2 is bad news. As much or even more so than one. Therefore, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ, chair four, to be not just my Savior, chair five, not just my Lord, chair six, not just my bridegroom, but my all in all, everything. He's everything to me. So heaven on earth is not a place. Here, there, something you can see, taste, touch, smell, something that appears. It doth not yet appear. It doth not yet appear. In the millennium, it'll appear. It'll actually be time and space. You'll actually see the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, because we'll be in charge. Not all of us. There might be two or three sinners here that don't make it. Why? Because they didn't believe that what this teaching is that you go from four, then to five through the discipline, the discipleship, the training, the teaching, the authority of God after you've been born again, but before you have a new heart, but you actually only have a new heart imputed to you, dikaiosune. But you don't actually have a new soul or a new body, five, six. You don't actually have that yet, so we can't see yet in six what happened in four through five to get to six. And even if you had six, you still wouldn't be perfected till the Lord comes back. Because unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So you could actually be in four and yet not make it, because you refuse to believe that you needed five to kill yourself. Because the biggest problem is not the devil or the world. The biggest problem is yourself. You still think you know something. You still think you can do something. You still think you have some goodness in you, which is false. You're not cooperating with Jesus. Only God is good. No one else is good but God, even one God. So only God is good means you'll never be good, not even in heaven. God himself has life in himself. Jesus has life in himself. The Spirit is the Spirit of life. They have it inherently, innately in their being. There never was a time when they didn't, because they are life and joy and peace and so on. The only way you can have it is derivatively by faith. By faith. And when you have it by faith, you're born in chair four to die in chair five, to live again by resurrected life in chair six. So you're born to die to be resurrected. Only the dead can resurrect. So you have to go through five. You can't be resurrected from chair four. Most of the ministries I know today, Spirit-filled, love the Lord, born again, baptized by water, etc., etc., they like to skip chair five. But that is the only chair that can destroy your reign forever. And if you don't destroy it, then he will not live his life through you in six, so that you are able then to reign with him in seven. But that reign is going to be visible. That's the first time that the church will look like the church, because the Lord of the church, the head of the church, the governor of the church, will actually be residing in his body to see it. We believe it in chair four. If that's true, that you really are a believer, you must be tested in chair five until you are no more, until you are dead. You don't say your own words. You don't do your own deeds. You don't think your own thoughts. You do nothing. And if you do, you immediately confess and call upon the Lord to destroy anything in you that's wicked. The problem today in the church is wickedness is not noticed in chair two always. We think we know one of the candidates may be in chair one, and they're trying real hard. It doesn't mean anything, because those that are judging are in chair two. And because you're in chair two, you're self-righteous. Because you think, because you behave right and they behave wrong, they should vote for you. Sorry. It may not turn out that way. It may be that God wants to use chair one to wake you up and to wake the church up. And why I'm excited about this election is because it doesn't matter which way it goes, we win. If it's only to wake us up because chair one succeeds and chair two fails, and no matter what you believe might happen, you really don't know. Because what if God has an agenda? What if God might have his own way of working with things? So you could pray a prayer like this. Oh God, deliver us from the wicked. But which one? One or two or four or five? Which one is it he's going to deliver you from? Which devil do you want to start with? The one that's within or the one that's without? So there's no guarantees here at all that the candidate you may choose, and you must choose. It's part of your, not just privilege, it's also a duty before God to actually be involved. Now, how you are, that's between you and God. But you should not just let it go and say it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. And you should, in this country where we're called we, the people, which came out of the biblical understanding. It didn't come from humanism. It didn't come from the Enlightenment. It didn't come from Gramsci. It didn't come from anything going on in this nation. And can you blame the Antichrist for thinking now he has a good opportunity to take over? He could arise. You know, after all, it's still the time of the Gentiles. And until he's ready to come back, and he's not ready to come back right now, but it's getting close. And so therefore, many people see it in apocalyptic terms. They see what's going on is, wow, we could go all the way down this, you know, drain, or we could swamp, or we could go another way, and then there'd be hope. I wouldn't trust that. I wouldn't trust that. First of all, you're not God. Second of all, you can't judge the heart. Third of all, only God knows, and maybe God has his own purpose right now. It has nothing to do with what we are doing here. But you don't know that. Since you don't know that, you can't do anything about it except do what you can do. And so you need to pray to God. Let me confess my own sin. Let me rejoice in hope now, no matter how it comes out. And let me bless my enemies and pray for my enemies, because a house divided against itself will not stand. So those who founded this nation thought it was founded on a solid, unshakable, indefeasible, indestructible foundation. Why? Not because it was political, but because the political house would be built upon one nation under God, fearing God, or loving God, or relating somehow, knowing God's in charge. There's no benevolent state. There cannot be. It's an oxymoron. Only God is good. Only God can be our benevolent one that we thank, not government. So when government says, I gave you this, now you owe me this, that's a satanic understanding. Government can give you nothing. It owns nothing, therefore it can give nothing. So the government can never be a benefactor. You took a benefit from the IRS, therefore, no, there is no such thing. Only God gives benefits, and only God can be thanked. So you can't render to Caesar what doesn't belong to Caesar, because there is no Caesar. In this country, in this state, we're under God. So therefore, since you're under God, you can only render holy things to God. Whereas unholy things, common things, things that are common to all men, you can render that to Caesar. If the Lord says, render that to Caesar. Because he's limited. He's limited. He can't just ask for everything, body and soul. Why? Because God has taken many things. For example, he wants your heart and your soul and your body. And when he's through, then Caesar can have what's left. So Caesar, in fact, cannot make up laws willy-nilly. He can't just be arbitrary. He has to be just. He who rules over men must rule justly, said King David. Then he defined it. Ruling in the fear of God. In other words, always make sure that you exercise higher law jurisprudence. One of our works over here in chair six, because that's our only public face, nobody sees your discipleship. Nobody sees your heart. Nobody can see your heart and your soul. Nobody. Not even those who call themselves psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists. They can't see anything but your behavior. And when they cure you, it's never through your mind. When they cure you, there's mind control. They can't cure you. They just try medicine or plug you into an outlet. They don't have any power except physical. So therefore, it's Antichrist. So everything in the world since about the year 1836 is without authority, is anti-God, is Antichrist, is irrational, is confusion, is without authority. Prior to that, there was authority. There was a fear of God. Even the founders who disagreed on many things, but only nothing fundamental, but they only agreed as to how you get there. Even they all were agreed that we must never make a law that forces men to do what is good, right, true, and just. You must never force somebody to do what's good. You must only make laws, and this is how our country was set up, in Texas in particular. You must only make laws that permit men to do what is good, right, true, and just. But you don't make laws that punish men if they do what is, to their own understanding, right, good, true, and just, unless they break one of God's higher laws. That would be a recognition of the common law of England, which was sorted out through custom and not yet corrected by the natural law or the spiritual law. In other words, don't make a law that violates the conscience. Don't make a law that violates that which God ordered in creation. Don't make a law that doesn't allow men freely to love their neighbor and to worship God. Now, the loving of the neighbor is politics. The loving of the neighbor could also be, and is for a Christian, a true Christian, also love. So loving the neighbor as thyself is politics, is economics, is society, not socialism, not communism, where you're forced. Someone's trying to persuade you. They're trying to brainwash you into thinking this is good for you. When the founders spoke of common good, they meant that which is good for everybody at all times and in all places throughout the history of the world. In other words, everybody would agree that murdering someone was not good. They wouldn't agree that there wasn't possible to kill someone, but only if it was the proper person. It just not anybody could take a sword in his hand and go around killing and saying, well, I did that in self-defense. You'd have to prove it. So there would be an onus upon you to prove that what you did was actually for the good of you personally and society in general, so that you're actually a trustee for the common good. That which the Greeks knew, the Persians knew, a lot of people have known throughout history, King Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, we have the story in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you can see how no civilization that thought to do away with God could. So that Egypt was the first kingdom, first empire, the first emperor, king of kings and lord of lords, that tried to impose his own will on his subjects. And though God said, no, I don't like that idea. It's because you happen to have something I own, my people. So I want you to go and tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. And if he doesn't, tell him, I'll destroy this and I'll do this and so on. And that'll be tomorrow. So God's very clear, very explicit. And he took out his own people after 10 tests. Everything good must be tested. If it's good, it should be tested. And if it's good over and over and over again, that's customary, then people accept that as fair. But what they call fair today, fair and balanced, is not fair and balanced. They mean that the Muslim speaker should get on and the Christian speaker should get on and this thing and that thing and so on. They just mean everybody's equal. No, everybody's not equal. All ideas are not equal. People are equal, but not their ideas, not their habits. Nothing else is equal about them. They will always be disparate and different. To force everybody into one community, that's communism, to force them to do what's good. It's good for all of us to defer to the king. It's a monarchy. It's good for us to defer to the parliament. That's an aristocracy. It's good for us to defer to the common good. Yeah, but how do you find that? According to the scripture, what would be commonly known as good would be a natural law. So the natural law for Americans, for Texans, the natural law dictates over everything that's done. Today, almost nothing is under the natural law. Almost all the laws that are passed today are to destroy your natural, God-given, unalienable rights, privileges. All those things that God gave you through nature, which should be negative. I'll punish you if you go over the speed limit, but I don't punish you and force you to drive at a certain speed. So man ought to be free to make his own decisions for his own good. But today, almost no laws are like that. All laws force people to do what they say is good without checking with God. Nature and nature's God. So the God of nature happens to be the same God we believe in. He created nature. Nature's not a God. Other religions believe he is a God. They believe that nature itself is divine, that it has something eternal in it or everlasting in it. Foolishness. So today, everything is confused, but it's not. It's up to you to read your scripture every day. It's up to you to meditate day and night on what he has said. It's not up to your president. It's not up to the Congress. It's not up to some other body. There aren't any other gods supreme. So the Supreme Court cannot be supreme. There are many things above the Supreme Court. That's why you can impeach someone who, it won't be done, but you could, you can. It was set up to do it. If someone actually did not follow the Constitution, but the Constitution itself has to be interpreted. So therefore, if the Supreme Court has the only job to interpret it, then the president can't or the Congress can't, only the Supreme Court, their God. For all intents and purposes, there is no one free because their interpretation holds sway. Can't be true because this country, this state, was totally built on another idea that all political, economic, social sovereignty lies in the people themselves, not an individual, not a group, not even a majority. So we are not a monarchy. We are not an aristocracy. We are not either a democracy. Worst thing ever. And yet everybody says today, we're a representative democracy. No, you're not. You're a republic of laws, which are subordinate to the higher authority of God's laws, whether it be natural or revealed. Both. And no law was ever made by our founders that ever violated anything in the scripture. I can just tell you right now, they've never made a law because everybody was God-fearing. And therefore, they knew better. But today, it no longer has meaning. We have what's called linguistic tyranny. Today, all words are twisted, are changed. So you think when someone says, I'm for the people, that means they're for the people. How naive, how foolish. When someone says, I'm going to help you, that means just the opposite. When someone says, this is a United Nations agenda, that means it's devilish, it's satanic, it's evil. Well, no, they do many good things, yeah? What are they? Tell me about them. Is the Department of Health, the UN, you know, health organization, is that to create health or disease? What about the UN peacekeeping? Do they create peace or war? So the opposite is actually what really happens because men are sinful and because nations are sinful and because you have no hope. Once you get rid of God, you've gotten rid of everything. So today is the most exciting time to be alive. It's the most exciting thing. Let's read verse 1, chapter 5. If you once, having been set free, I told you that's what the message is in the book of Galatians. If once you're set free, why would you then fall back? If once you are set free, Eleutherian, you're once set free in chair 4, why would you go back to 2 and go back to man-made laws? Because then you would be unequally yoked again to the law rather than to Jesus. The word for yoke is zygos, Z-Y-G-O-S. What that means is that yoke that's on you is tied to something. It's a yoke. It's not just a yoke around your neck. It's a yoke that unites you with somebody else. So if it's a law, it's not going to work. Unless you're yoked to Jesus, in which case he replaces the law. Because of Jesus, you're no longer under a law, natural or otherwise, even though there are natural laws that operate and we don't violate them. You can't. Let's say you wanted to violate gravity by jumping on the roof up there and then leaping off onto your head. I don't know if you can survive that. I tried. I did survive, but I believe it was a miracle. I believe that God had a special thing so that idiot is jumping off the roof right on his head. And I survived. You could fall off a ladder and die, but I went 10 feet. Just like that. And just to find out how spiritual I was. No. I was blacked out, so I didn't even know I fell. And I never felt it. And I never knew about it. And though the doctor said, you know, and I could feel my ribs were hurting a little bit, but I really never experienced any of the pain. And I never took the medicine. So since I didn't, I healed quickly. And by Christmas, I was back just short time later, full doing everything I'm still doing. God has natural laws to protect you. Every law that's ever been made by God is always for your good, always for your benefit, always for your happiness, always for your safety, always for your security, always. There are no bad laws that God has ever made. Every law was to restrain you from doing something other than what God forbade you to do or enjoined you to do. So if it's a law that says, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, assume that your own self had authority to do what you do. You don't know that. You don't know what to do. Even if you knew there was a God, you wouldn't know if there's 50. And you wouldn't know if the one or the 50 or 5 billion were good or bad toward you, liked you or hated you. You can't know through natural law anything that comes through revealed law. Everything in revealed law is essential, not existential. The natural law is existential. But once you have the natural law, which also allows you to make choices, you'll make all bad choices without the revealed law. So Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he is the one that said, don't be a child of the bondwoman, Hagar. But you are not a child of the bondwoman, Ishmael. You are a child of the free woman, the one that sets you free, Jesus. So Jesus is the child that came through Isaac's line. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth. All of those that believed as Abraham believed. Jesus said he saw my day. He saw exactly that he had faith that I had already made the atonement for my people. I had already paid the sacrifice. I had already made the offering that needed to be offered for the burnt offering. I already did everything. So if I've already done everything, the only thing you can do is thank me, praise me, and adore me. That you must do by faith, not by existence. Your existential nature doesn't tell you any of that, but his revealed word alone tells you that. So all other religions are false because all other religions are man-made, human designed. So it's no wonder that today we have now been compromised, watered down, because the church failed to be the church, because they did not teach that the only blessing here is salvation is not a one-time event, chair four. That's only the beginning. That's the foundation, imputed righteousness. But that imputed righteousness be tested in chair five, so that everything that's good and right and true and just has to be tested through the fire to find out whether it's of God or not. If it's shakable, it should be shaken until you realize that's from God. You can't shake it. Now, today, you can shake the church because she's lukewarm. A lukewarm church cannot in any way stop Satan or this world or any religion from being evil, vain, foolish. So, the kings of this earth today are foolish. All the rulers of this world are no rulers at all because they don't fear the living God. Even the Muslims who claim that they fear God and they chop heads off, they're breaking a natural law, not Christianity. They're going to break Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, anybody's head who doesn't receive the fact that they're going to rule the world because they know what Jesus wants and they're anti-Christ. They want to substitute themselves and say, we're actually what you were looking for. So join us now or lose out. So since you're capable of doing so, they believe you have free will to do it, they give you a choice. That kind of thinking also was in the Jewish community and in the Christian community and in the pagan community long before our day. The fact that it's come out again is very good. Because now you need to wake up to see that everything in the Word of God was designed for your liberty, for your freedom, for truth, so that you could have all the fruits of the Spirit right now. The only payment would be that you die. So the only payment is not physical death, but psychological death. You're not in charge. You are not God. You need to come to God and say, Lord, is there any wicked way in me this morning? Is there any filth in me? Is there anything not perfectly lined up with you this morning? God, whatever it takes, do it. Because I want to be perfect with you. I want to be shalom with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want that gospel to be fulfilled fully. I don't want it just to start. I want it to endure, and then I want it to be perfected in the end. So that when he comes back for a pure bride, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such blemish, stain, any uncleanness, anything, because he won't come back for a harlot, chair two. He won't come back for a church that's less. He cannot. It's impossible for God. He can't lie. He said he's coming back for a pure church. Are we that pure church? Okay, I'll ask it differently. Are we a pure church by faith?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, very good. So now you've got the chair one. Is there any remaining sin in us?
Yes.
Is there some unlove in us in chair six? Yeah. Have we fully loved our enemies and pray for them and bless them and confess our own sins and rejoice in all difficulties, problems, troubles? Are we not full of hope when we see an election that looks like heaven or hell? It looks like this is it. Boy, whatever happens from now on, we're either finished or we got another shot at it. You have no idea what God has in mind. You need to realize he's not judging the politics. He's not judging the economic job thing and whatever else. He's not judging whether socialism or capitalism. He's not doing any of that. He's not interested in the society. We've got a lot of pagans here. We've got a lot of other people and so on. He's not interested in that. He's only interested in his own church. And only us. Those that truly are committed to him who pray, Lord, I now believe, test me, prove me, until you find if there be any wayward, any wicked, any vain, any foolishness in me every day. Because it has to, have to do this every day, by the way. Every day. I die daily. I die daily. I die daily. I die daily. There's authority for what I'm saying. This will never build a big church, this message, because of chair five. So everybody who has a big church was smart and decided, let's not go the way of Jim. He's not interested in the fruit. He's not interested in marketing this thing. He doesn't understand the people that are listening aren't going to buy his Chair 5 idea. Let's skip that. Very smart. They were smart. I tell you, I hand it to them. They were much smarter than I was, because look at all the parking lots they have and all the buildings and all the campuses and so on and so forth. And I'm never going to amount to... it's so sad. I'll be like Dean. That's sad. You'll just be, despised, misunderstood, and hated. And all you try to do is please God. All you want to do is obey God. All you want to do is say everything is a lie, except what I'm telling you, this is the truth. Well, then how can you make it? You can't. But what if there's a God? Just what if there were a God who actually wants his people to go through this threshing machine of five so that all the sin will be knocked out of you and the only thing will be left is a handful of grain and all of the trash will be thrown off. The threshing machine is designed to shake you so deeply every day. God, I'm ready. Thank you. I feel much better. And he wants to destroy all sin, the root of the sin, the fruit of the sin, everything, until there's nothing left but Jesus. And when men see your good works, when men see your good, not when the church, not, you're not the salt and the light of the church. When men see your good works in Chair 6, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven, because they'll know you are a son of the living God. You are not a son of Ishmael under a law. The law of Egypt, the law of proving yourself, the law of doing something or stop doing something. They felt that's the only way. That's been the way throughout the whole world until now. And the Reformation didn't change that. It only changed the concept. And for a while, it was fervent and hot. But very quickly, the Lutheran Church lost its Lutherans. And the Methodist Church lost its methods. And the Presbyterian Church and so on, they all became the opposite of what they set out to do. Because the plans of man cannot be established without the Lord. Perizo, P-E-R-I-Z-O, perizo, it means something that is firm, that is settled, that is immovable, that is forever and ever, cannot be challenged or overthrown. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Chair 5, is so immovable that it will lead to Chair 5 without even asking for it. You will be tested. The minute you say, I believe in Jesus, and you have a new heart, you will immediately want to please God until you hit the fire, until you hit the fact that people hate you and despise you and misuse you and abuse you and attack you and persecute you. Because the children of Ishmael will always persecute the children of Isaac. And every civilization, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Rome, Greece, Rome, Rome, Rome. The last three, 666, the last three is all that's left now. And the New World Order, which is the last of the last Rome. We had ancient Rome of the Caesars, then we had medieval Rome under the popes, and now we have the businessmen trying to control this world. They don't care about politics. They buy both sides. They don't care about anything but winning themselves and destroying everybody else so that there are no liberties, there are no rights. That's what the UN is all about today, to take away all of your national sovereignty, your individualism, your ability to worship God, to take away everything except what they have desired. Those are the great men of today. They are the power. They are behind the television set you're looking at. They are behind everything that's going on. It is witchcraft. And therefore, you're about to lose not just this country, but everything. Because you didn't do what God asked you to do, which is nothing. In faith, I have faith that Jesus has already done everything before the foundation of the world. My life is not the life I'm living. It's the life he lived for me, then in me, then through me. 4, 5, 6, outer court, holy place, holy of holies. He is the one, spirit, soul, body, changing me now, not only saving me, but saving me fully just men, 4, made perfect through 5-6, period. Everything in the scripture is the truth that'll set you free. That freedom comes from being born of the free woman, Sarah. Sarah was greater than Abraham. Why? Because Sarah knew that Abraham loved Ishmael and Hagar, and he knew that Sarah was being mean. She was trying to kick out. She said it, cast out the bondwoman. Cast her out. I don't want her anymore. And her son. I don't want the law living together with the gospel. I don't want bad news with good news. I don't want man with God messing up with God's program. This is the child of promise, mine. This is the child of flesh, bondage. He will only produce another pyramid that'll never be finished. So everything that one of the candidates has worked so hard to accomplish and build may fall apart in just 2 days. It may completely come to an end, win or lose. It may not ever again be able to build up toward an anti-Christian system. And all of the indictments and so on could go nowhere. It's possible. Nevertheless, there's another one totally untested, untried, who knows nothing about what to do politically or how to speak right or whatever else. So he's completely untested. But it could be that God will choose one of them. And you don't know which one. And all you can do is vote. All you can do is vote. And you just have to, you know, you can't figure it out. Because that isn't the problem. The problem is you. You yourself, personally. You, individually. You must now seek the living God. God, not deliver me from the wicked, but God, deliver me from myself. Because what God is after is just one holy woman, one holy man, one who will go through the fire and instead of complaining, go through the desert, go through the wilderness, go through the training, go through the instruction, go through the punishment, the chastening, go through anything. Dean Gocher, I'd say. That's what Dean is going to tell you. He's going to tell you something that's so hard. What does that word mean? I don't understand that. But if you will be patient, what he's telling you is exactly how the anti-Christian system was set up. And how, if you get shaken by that, it's actually good. Because it has authority. Because authority is now gone in our government. You can't trust the Supreme Court. You can't trust the CIA. You can't trust any organ of government. You don't have your authority now. You don't have a constitution now. It's a living thing. It just moves all over the place. It's not perizo. It's not fixed, established, unshakable. But everything is about to be shaken so that that which is not shakable will endure. And do you trust the people to know what they're doing? They can so easily be demagogued in a democratic representative government. That just means the demos, the people. But the people are a mob. They don't have any direction without a head. So who is their head? A demagogue. Someone who demagogues this way, someone who you don't know. So today, there are no clear choices because you didn't choose God. Had you chosen God, you would be on something fixed that cannot change. I'm always happy. I'm always happy. Why? Because I can't lose. How can you lose when you've already won? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's my authority. I don't have any other, and I don't want any other. I don't ever want to have security in this world. I want to have only the certainty of that scripture. How do I get it? I don't. Faith cometh by hearing. There's no way to know. I don't know. I heard it, and one day I believed it. That is what I want for everybody here, to have a personal relationship with that personal God. In the dream, I was walking in a ditch with somebody else, and whatever they said, I said in the dream, this is before he gave me the word, no, you're mistaken. I wasn't saying that to rebuke him. I was saying that because what he said was a wrong interpretation or understanding of the gospel. So because his knowledge was eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, therefore I knew he didn't know what he was talking about. Even though he was probably a believer, I knew that we were not going to get there through what he said. And I had a bag of sticks. I don't know what it was, but it was a long bag of sticks that were maybe yay long. And I was swinging it in the dream. How many of you don't have any control over your dreams? They just are what they are. And so as I was swinging it, I said, no, you're mistaken. But I meant you don't have the right understanding. So then the Lord put into me immediately what to say. The kingdom of heaven is not a place. You can't get security here. Don't look for it here. It's not of this world. It's not part, you can't check it with anything down here. You either have it or you don't. You either heard it or you didn't. And if you do, you do. And you can't thank yourself because you didn't do it. You can just thank God. It's a person. You have to know the living God. I'm afraid that everyone here isn't strong in the Lord. That's your entire joy, your entire peace, your hope, your just, your everything in you and about you must be to know him and the power of his resurrection, one. And to be having fellowship with his sufferings, chair five. And to be conformable to his death. That, in Corinthians, is what God explains as the new creation. So, are you like that? That's the question for you to ask is, God, am I like that? Is everything about me for Jesus? Because it's all out war right now. I don't know if you understand it. This is not play games. This is the death. This is murder. This is bondage. This is not something simple. If you vote wrong or if you don't participate, whatever, you're going to be responsible before God to ask you someday. Not about it because it's political. It's not just political. It's a love issue. It has to do with love. Politics is a love issue. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? If you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, that's the issue. That's the predicate. The rest of it is what will happen if you do so. In proof of it, you go through the fire until you are purified so that the men know your good work. We need right now a miracle. We need a miracle because there's no way to teach this country right now. There's no way. They don't have ears to hear. After Tuesday, we'll find out. Because the one, you'll have freedom left. But it will be precarious because it's untested. It's someone that can go off wrong. It'd be so easy to make mistakes. No experience at all. We've never had anyone like that. Now, you can trust him. I wouldn't. You must trust the Lord. Lord, how should I act? I can sit it out, but that's your acting anyway. So there's no escape. God wants this. He put you in a vice right now. He's put you in a furnace. He's put you in a tight spot. You're dismayed. Well, I don't know which way to go. Well, this is not the day to figure that out. You should have figured that out a long time ago when you first started. He said, don't put your hand to the plow and then turn back. So today we're in a turn back after 200 years, 300 years, whatever it's been. Depends on how you count. It's a long time since we've been here. And now the Lord is looking for his church to be the salt of the earth, which is truth, the truth of the gospel. The salt, but you must speak the truth, the salt, which makes every offering acceptable, by the way, only faith. That's the only thing that makes it acceptable to God is that you didn't have any faith in yourself, you didn't have any faith in the government, you didn't have any faith in anything, but you're not a people pleaser. You are having faith totally that Jesus Christ does, in fact, love you unconditionally, you personally. And therefore, trust in him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. He'll give you everything else. That's his, now, righteousness to you is that truth spoken in love, six, can only get to six by going through five, the fire. So let's have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, five, and fire. Often the Pentecostals skip that one. And they often fall into the flesh because they have skipped that one. So because they call themselves Pentecostal is just a concept. It doesn't have any meaning. It can be legalistic. the faith teaching. It likes to jump over five. I was blessed 2 weeks ago in Colorado with my wife and I to hear a speaker who's of the faith teaching, but what they said was not faith teaching. It was chair five. And I told my wife ahead of time, we are going to go, but we're not going to hear the gospel. We're going to hear part of the gospel, but it will not have the most important part. The way you get to six, they will never arrive. They will only produce immature believers. But when I listened, I realized God had sent me. It was not by will that I went, but someone had sent me and said, you need to go. I said, no way. But that was what I said to God. No way. I don't want to. But when I got there, I was not only blessed, but I was blessed way beyond what I expected. And it's like, wow, our God is a personal, living God. He still does miraculous works that can't be done by man. Everything man does is not miraculous. Everything God does is. Everything he says, everything he does, everything he wants is miraculous. Can't be done by anybody but God. So this is a time for America to have a spiritual revival, and it should start here today, because this is the only place I'm speaking. They won't let me in other places. But here, you people are victims. You're victims of hearing a pastor that does it all wrong and claims to do it all right. Because I believe this message is not being taught in all its fullness and perfection. And I believe God doesn't just give it to everybody. I wish he did. But I know there are many, 7,000 others, no doubt, that are ready now for a revival. But it starts with you. It doesn't start with some revival preaching. It starts with the truth of the gospel, but it ends up in the love to this world. Because everything we do is not for ourselves. You're not the light of the church. You're not the salt of the church. You're the salt of the earth. You should make everything here on earth acceptable to God. That's what salt does. In the Old Testament, every offering, without exception, had to be accompanied with salt, or God would not accept it. That salt is that faith in Jesus Christ is the key to what's acceptable to God. Apart from faith, you can do nothing, but with faith, you can do all things. There's nothing you can't do. You are not born of the bondwoman, but you are free. You've been born not to wait until heaven someday. By the way, you're not going to see heaven on earth right now in all its fullness. But when the kingdom of God cometh on the earth in a short time, it depends on what we do now. What we do now is going to make the difference, and it's personal. It's not as a denomination or a church or a group. It's you personally, because God is interested individual by individual by individual in bringing you through the first two. The last one is corporate, but the first two are not. You have to go by yourself, believe in Jesus. Can't be forced. You have to then agree, will it? God, I don't want any sin in my life. So even though I'm born again and I'm free by being born again, I still freely choose to have you be my Lord, not just my Savior. I want you to Lord me, tell me what to do, tell me not what to do, speak to me every minute of every second of every day. Now, get rid of all the sin in my life so I can hear more clearly. Otherwise, you'll hear your sin. You'll taint everything that you touch. You'll poison the loaf. Now, God wants to have a church, and he's going to have a church without spot, without wrinkle, a bride. That he can say, this is my bride. How did she get like that? She cleaned up? No. She got like that because Jesus prepared the way. And he said, if I start the work, chair four, I will surely complete the work, chair five. That means I have to keep it going in the middle. Right now, it doth not yet appear. When it appears, you'll all say, that's the kingdom of God. Now the righteous. You know when the people have righteous leaders? I'm not just talking politically, businessmen, pastors, fathers. When they have righteous leaders who hear God and do and say exactly what God would have them do and say, the people rejoice. Today, the people are not rejoicing. They're only hoping in one candidate or another, one party or another. But you Don't have to wait for that. You could start the kingdom today. You could walk up to somebody after the service and say, God bless you. You are such a blessing. I just was told by the Spirit to bless you with this scripture, or with this word, or with this hug, whatever it is. Well, forget the hug part, but at least the scripture or the word, so that you can let them know, you know, you are beloved of God. The church today is not living this kingdom message because we're not yet dead with sin. If you have any sin in you, it's going to come out. You cannot hide a thing. Everything that's hidden will be revealed. So we're not going to be able to hide on the day of the Lord. That's why I like one of the candidates. He's not hiding. He's not hiding. And I like that because we're just going to get a citizen, just a person. You're not going to get a God. And I believe from what he said, it probably is not the case, that he is not. And I believe he's truly thankful for what has happened. But he needs mentors. He needs somebody to teach him and train him. Because everything for a king, a leader, a ruler in political things is the fear of God. Now, if you get an advisor or a cabinet or anything around you, who I appoint to this and who I appoint to that, if it's somebody you owe a favor to, which has been done in all cases up until now, you're going to fail because you did not hear the living God. Unless the king who's in the God's hands fears him and wants only to hear the truth, you will not have a leader. You'll have a puppet. You'll have somebody who's in debt. You'll have a child of Hagar. You'll have an Ishmaelite. You'll be under a law. So there's our problem today. The founders did a good thing. They got something started, but they couldn't keep the republic of laws. Franklin said to the woman on July 2, 1776, Mary asked him a question when he came out of the Philadelphia house. What kind of government did you give us? And he said, a republic if you people can keep it, not what we gave you. It's what you do with it. If you want to throw it away, it's not perfect. It's by no means perfect. It's not perfect. Now's the time to perfect it. Now's the time to perfect it. Why? Because it's a crisis. It's a crisis right now. Half of America will hate the candidate that's chosen. So you're not going to have a nation. You're a divided nation. You're two nations at least. Two camps are now dwelling hostily in the same valley. So if America is going to have any glory that the intended founders gave us, it would have to be because we took responsibility. Only us. We're the hope. Anyone want to say a word? Anyone? Amen.